Now, the theme of this morning's service is kindness. And you'll know if you've been here for a connection services before that usually I like to start a connect the message with a popular song, you know, which reflects what's going to come. But I couldn't find one. I could not find one popular song about kindness. It appears that kindness just doesn't push our buttons, you know. Love, okay, love does it for us. But something about kindness, it's not romantic, it doesn't inspire us. It seems that kindness, you could say, is the poor relation of love. I did think of a song, I thought of Lilac Wine. You know, I thought, that was love, wasn't it, you know? Lilac wine, sweet and heady, like my love. If love gets a wine, sweet and heady, what does kindness get? Milk. That sums it up, really, doesn't it? You know, that's often our view of kindness. But I'm going to suggest this morning that this is a vital, vital need. It's just for basic, straightforward kindness. And we're approaching this subject today because it comes in the list that we're working through of the characteristics of life lived in the Holy Spirit. Lived the life of Jesus, lived through in us. And it appears as one of those eight vital markers of the authentic Christian life as kindness. Firstly, we would say that actually love without kindness can be very hard, very cold. You know, we might think of those heroes, you know, the Jane Austen, Mr. Darcy. You know, I'm sorry, ladies, I haven't got a clip of him coming up out of the lake, you know, dripping this morning, but and maybe that's not a helpful image. But, you know, and Heathcliff, you know, Bronte, Heathcliff, lots of passion, lots of love, but no kindness. And, you know, relationships fail for lack of basic kindness. Marriages fail sometimes for a lack of kindness. And actually, we would have to say that love itself is compromised without kindness. In 1 Corinthians 13, this passage that is so well known, we read that love itself is kind. And so we don't have any license, we don't have any permission to treat those we love unkindly. The Christian faith can be very hard and cold without kindness. You know, love for God, respect for God, the desire to honour and follow Jesus leads us to believe passionately in certain things and to act in certain ways. But it's so tragic when this conviction we have leads to hardness towards others who don't share those convictions, both inside and outside of the church. And, you know, we cringe when we see churches at odds with each other, you know, or becoming an angry minority, sort of shouting angrily at the world about something that exercises us. Well, we have to say that the church is in a bit of a bind here. You know, we are God's voice. We're not called to be easygoing about sin. You know, remember that the prophet Isaiah, when he was called, he heard God saying, "Who will go for us?" And Isaiah, we remember, was sent out with a very unpopular word from God. And we're the ones who God has given a clear picture of the nature of sin, the seriousness of sin, the offense it causes to God, the damage it does to society and to individuals. And so we aren't simply able to say that everything's all right in terms of the attitudes and the priorities of society in general, the behavior of individuals. We have convictions on justice, equal opportunity, wealth and poverty, sexual morality. God doesn't call us to compromise those convictions, but to stand and speak for him. And we remember that Jesus himself was very outspoken. But God's heart is a heart of kindness. And as Christians, we have to be very sure that when we speak out from a heart of kindness, not from that angry part of us just wants to hit out at other people. Because as followers of Jesus, we're called to be a blessing to others. When God first chose a people to call his own and to be his special representatives, three separate times in Genesis, he states his intention that all peoples or all nations will be blessed through his people. It's fundamental to our existence as the people of God that we are a blessing to other people. You know, have you ever been blessed by someone who wasn't kind? So maybe sometimes you thought maybe they're being cruel to be kind, but fundamentally, if someone's intention towards you wasn't an intention of kindness, were you ever blessed by them? So if we are called to kindness, what does that look like in practice? The Bible describes two kinds of kindness. First, it's seen in terms of practical acts, you know, of kindness, mercy, it's called sometimes, charity, it used to be called. Proverbs 14:31 says, "Whoever is kind to the needy honors God." And this actually constitutes a very important part of what it is to be a Christian, what it is to be the church. We have to respond to the needs of others. Practically speaking, we can't respond to every need. But what we can do, we do. We were talking at the elders and deacons meeting. Someone has maybe there's going to be, you know, someone is one of our congregation, Howard Roberts, you know, he's involved with the council. He says they're very exercised about the problem of loneliness. And he says, can the churches get involved? Can we be a part of befriending lonely, particularly thinking of older people who maybe can't get out and are very isolated? And our conclusion at that meeting was, well, you know, we just can't say no. We can't say no out of hand. We need to find out, you know, what is there something we can do? We won't take on things that we can't do, but we need to find out at least. It is just not possible for us to say no out of hand to a request like that. I love the story in the Old Testament of King David. And you'll remember that at one point, King David, he's gone through all these trials and tribulations. Now he's won the battles that needed to be fought, and he's been crowned as king. But in the process, the old king, Saul, has been killed, and also along with him, his son, who was David's best friend, Jonathan. And then sometime later, God puts this thought in King David's heart. And David asks, "Is there no one still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" And they said, "Yes, there is one man. He's just one left. And he was a crippled man, couldn't walk, Mephibosheth." And thank you. Yeah. And David said, "Right, sorted. You know, he's always going to be provided for. Bring him here." He said, "You know, I want to show you God's kindness. You will always eat at the king's table. You will never want for anything." What if every day every morning we ask the question, "Who can I show God's kindness to today?" I love the idea of random acts of kindness. Someone introduced me to that a while back. It's a lovely concept. It's actually not exclusively done in the Christian church now. But this idea that we can just, for no reason particularly, just do something kind for somebody and the impact that has. I've got a little clip for you here about random acts of kindness. Hope you're going to enjoy this one. So, bring that back so that you can see. About that. I couldn't resist. Random acts of kindness, they have an impact. They will have a definite impact in a society which isn't used to that sort of thing. But, you know, and we do get a blessing from doing acts of kindness, you know. You know, I've discovered that the best kind of blessing is when no one ever knows you did it, only God. But we need to get it right, don't we, really? we need to think about what kindness is. And yeah, that's a preposterous example, but you know, we often get kindness wrong, because that points us to the other aspect of kindness, which is at the heart of the Christian message. This act, forgiveness, what's called in the Bible bearing with one another in love. It's about how we relate together and live together. Kindness says that we give each other a break. Kindness is about seeing that another person has made a mistake and deciding not to point it out unless it's important to do so. Kindness is about wanting to preserve and build up the dignity and the self-esteem of another person. And kindness is inevitably linked to forgiveness. Forgiving someone when they've hurt us is essentially an act of kindness. They don't necessarily deserve to be forgiven, but kindness means we forgive them. And when we do forgive, this reflects, of course, the heart and the action of God himself. Ephesians 4:32 stresses, points this out. Paul says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other in Christ, as in Christ God forgave you. And Paul goes further and says in Romans 2 that judging each other is contempt for the riches of God's kindness. You know, God has been very kind to us. This is his nature. God is kind. He has not treated us as our sins have deserved. Because we all know that what the Bible says is true. We've all fallen short of what we were created to be. Any of us could write down a list right now of the bad things we've done, bad attitudes we hold, and God, the righteous judge, would be perfectly justified in condemning us totally. But God loves us and he is kind. And so Paul says to these people that he's talking to in the book of Acts, God has shown you kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your heart with joy. So God provides for us through nature. He doesn't need to, says Paul. He does it because he's kind. And that kindness of God most clearly revealed in Jesus Christ. Jesus modeled that kindness for us. Jesus had time for each person who came to him. You know, on the way to raise a little girl from the dead, he stops because someone has a need. He stops to heal a woman who had a bleeding problem, not an urgent thing, a 12-year problem. His kindness caused him to stop. Jesus didn't make people feel small, even Zacchaeus, who was small. He was so small, he had to climb a tree. But, you know, when Jesus had finished with him, when Jesus invites himself to his house, Zacchaeus starts to believe in himself. Jesus allowed people to change. As Jesus was arrested and tried, Peter, one of his best friends, denied even knowing him, cursed. He said, I never knew him. It was all over for Peter as a follower of Jesus. But Jesus' kindness allows people to change, gives second chances. Many of us know how many chances he's given us. There's a lot more than two in my case. And so the risen Jesus meets Peter on the shore of Lake Galilee, and they eat breakfast together, and then Peter gets another chance to be the person that God created him to be and to do the work that God prepared for him to do. If you love me, then feed my sheep, look after my people. Maybe someone here needs to know that despite the times you've let him down, God is looking kindly on you. You have another chance. God isn't angry with you. He's looking kindly on you. So how should we respond to this wonderful kindness of God? Many hundreds of years before Jesus, God said to his people, I'm going to change your hearts. So you find it in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36. I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'm going to remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And this is why we say that we only really achieve kindness through God. Not to say that kindness is exclusive to the Christian community, but we put it all down to the activity of the Holy Spirit. In the world at large and in the heart of those who follow Jesus. Because kindness starts in the heart. It involves what we say and do, of course, but it starts in the heart, in an attitude towards others, towards God, towards ourselves. It's possible to do all sorts of good things for people, but have a heart which is hard and angry and bitter. Well, that's not kindness. It's possible to do all sorts of good things for people, but end up with them feeling small and disempowered. But there's a true kindness, which helps and builds up, as Pauline and the children were demonstrating a little bit of this morning. We have received that kind of kindness from God. And that's the kindness that God asks us to share with others. True kindness comes when we let God's Holy Spirit melt our hearts towards Him and towards one another. And God's Spirit is willing and waiting to do that for us if we are willing to want to be kind. Now,
God is good all the time. light will shine. God is good. God is good.
Let us go in peace to remember that God is good all the time. Let us go and reflect his kindness in a waiting world. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you now and remain with you always. Amen. Yes.